Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
People who are rich in spirit are easy to spot because they've always got a lot of advice for everybody. They got so much spiritual riches, they're just doling it out. And if you're ever around them, you say, "Oh, I struggle with this sin, I struggle with this." And they got, man, they're just all over. They got all kinds of advice for you. Just stop. You know, just discipline yourself. Grit your teeth and just stop. And just, why can't you just have more success? They think they have success in everything, so they just can't understand why you would struggle. Or they'll give you some real superficial kind of solution off the top of their head. I talked to a woman just the other day who was like that, and I was trying to help her become more patient with people. She said, "I'm having trouble being patient with my kids. I don't understand why they can't just shape up." And so I told her one way you can learn to be more patient with them is to think about, because she never struggled with these things that her kids are struggling with. And so I said, you know, what you do when that happens, when you just can't be patient with someone because they're struggling with something that seems like it should be so easy because it comes easy to you. What you do then is you think about the areas where you really struggle, where you fail. And you think, aha, for them, that struggle is just as hard as my struggle is for me. And when you make that connection, it's much easier to be patient with people and cut them a little slack. So I said, well, just give me an example. Give me an example where you fail. Where do you struggle? What kinds of things do you, you know, year after year, there's still a problem? And she thought and thought. She couldn't think of anything. And if that's you, you feel like you're doing just fine. There's no desperation in your heart. You pretty much got your act together. You're doing okay. You're rich in spirit, and you're hopeless. Hopeless, as long as you're like that. Unless you repent of that, Jesus says, "I don't have anything to offer you. I didn't come for people like you. I only came for the sick and the lost and the empty." Now, does that mean that we have to always fail at everything? I mean, does that mean Christians constantly have nothing but failure? Can't we have a little bit of victory? No, it doesn't mean that. If you don't know of any significant area of sin in your life, then you're deluded. But where you do have success, you can have real success and real victory. The poor in spirit, what happens when you have success and victory in your life, if you're poor in spirit, you remain just as poor in spirit then, because it's so obvious to you that success couldn't have possibly come from you. It had to be a gift from heaven. Every good gift is from above, right? James 1. What do you have that you haven't been given? Nothing. Nothing. That's why you have to really wonder about people who can't accept charity. You know, I just wonder about people like that. They won't ask for help. And if you find out they're struggling and you want to give them, maybe they're struggling financially and you want to give them a gift and you want to bless them, and they won't accept it. "I'm too proud to accept charity. I won't accept any charity. I'm above that." That is delusional. You don't accept charity? Listen, every single thing you have ever had from the day you were born until now has been 100% charity. All of it. You've never gotten anything that wasn't charity. You say, "No, I work hard. I'm a self-made man." You work hard? Your hard work is charity from God. Your two arms and two legs that work, the brain that you have, the intelligence you have, the opportunities you've had to work, the circumstances that have allowed you to be successful, all of it, 100% charity. First Beatitude takes the world's thinking, all of natural human thinking, just completely turns it on its head. Jesus is not presenting us with some subtle, vague, fine distinctions in gray between us and what the world says. He just makes the two ways of thinking absolutely unmistakable. Because the world, the way of this world, is rugged individualism, self-reliance, self-esteem, self-worth, self-importance, self-expression, self-love, self-confidence, independence, human achievement. Believe in yourself and you can do anything. answer to all your problems lies within yourself. Just look down deep. That's all richness in spirit. You can be rich in spirit and be an atheist. You can be rich in spirit and be steeped in religion. In fact, the religious ones are the worst. The religious ones who are rich in spirit are, they use religion for the purpose of getting God to fall into line with their will, because their will is supreme. And they use religion to get God to meet their demands. And those are the people that think that they have bargaining power with God. God, you do this for me, and then I'll do this for you. Like, I've got something to offer God. I've got something that God needs, and I can scratch his back if he scratches mine. Those are the people that are actually planning to make a defense on Judgment Day. Of all things. I mean, they're planning. They get to Judgment Day. God asks to give an account. And say, oh, I can give an account. Sure, let me just explain why I deserve to go to heaven. They're going to explain to God all about how worthy they are to go to heaven. And while they're at it, in fact, they even plan on asking God to give an account to them for a few things that he did that they didn't agree with. Richness of spirit is why there's so much evil in this world. You ever wonder, you hear these horrific things that parents abusing their children and people, I mean, this horrific stuff that goes on. You say, why is there so much evil in the world? Oh, that's easy. I'll tell you why there's so much evil in this world. Self-esteem. People esteem themselves so highly that they regard themselves as being so important, they imagine their desires are more important than everyone else around them, and so they sin against each other because they esteem themselves so highly, more highly than they esteem everyone else. My bank account's more important than your bank account, so I'm going to steal from you. That's why people steal. Self-esteem. My impulses are more important than your well-being, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to get on top, no matter how it harms you. That's the way of the world. That's the outcome of esteeming yourself highly, and it leads to a very unhappy life. Not only does it cause evil to happen to everybody else, but it makes you miserable. People who esteem themselves highly develop an attitude of self-importance and superiority, and you ask them, do you believe you're of supremely important? They would say, oh, no, I'm not supremely important. But their attitude says otherwise. They're constantly offended. Constantly offended. That's a symptom of pride. If you're easily offended, it's pride. Proud people go through life perpetually upset because of how they're being treated. They're always being mistreated, and they're always aware of that. And they're mad at that guy because he never said thank you. And they're mad at this other guy because he was rude or said something critical. And they're mad at her because, you know, she's been neglecting him, and they're mad at someone else because they don't appreciate what they do, and they're mad because they're not getting the credit they deserve, and they're just offended all the time. We ever talk to them, sooner or later, usually sooner, the conversation ends up being about how people are failing to treat them right. They're miserable people. Self-important, proud people are constantly on the lookout to see whether they're being treated right. They're just looking for that all the time, and they'll rarely rebuke you for any sin other than mistreating them. But you do that, they'll rebuke you. That's all they can see. It's only sin they notice. They're never happy in a church. They never last in any church because they're around for a while. Sooner or later, somebody that doesn't treat them right, they're gone. I can't. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm out of here. Those kind of people have to be constantly pampered, constantly thanked, constantly affirmed, constantly appreciated and praised, and it requires all kinds of skill in social interaction and schmoozing in order to keep them from being upset. You have to walk on eggshells around them all the time. They cannot take criticism, and whatever you do, don't even think about comparing them unfavorably with somebody else.
Well, hopefully that's enough to persuade you of the ugliness of being rich in spirit, the ugliness of pride. I wanted to devote a whole episode to that today, even though it's kind of a downer, just because it's so important that our affections be like God's affections. He hates pride so much, and we need to learn to hate it, especially in our own hearts. So hopefully we've made some progress towards that today. But on Monday's podcast, it'll be a lot more positive because we're going to look at the other side of it. We're going to look at the beauty and attractiveness of poverty in spirit and humility. And my prayer is that after Monday's podcast, you'll be motivated to strive for humility with every ounce of energy you have. And there's something else we're going to look at on Monday, and that is self-esteem. We've all seen people who have really low confidence. They can't function in life because they have such low confidence. And the world's solution to that is always self-esteem. We're going to find out on Monday there's a much, much better solution that will bring much greater confidence than self-esteem. So have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.